It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. And we continue our study in the book of Ruth. Now, the last time we left off with chapter 2 and verse 17, I'd like to read that once again. And this tells us, of course, where Ruth gleaned. It says, "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." Now, remember, an ephah of barley is, in the Hebrew measure, about 7.5 gallons. Well, this would actually be a good day's work, and it would be something that would be pretty heavy as well. Well, now we look on in verse 18, and then we see, "And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed." We see here the result of gleaning. The result of gleaning was 7.5 gallons of barley. And she also, she had enough to share with her mother-in-law. And this is the result of gleaning. Well, God led Ruth in her choice of fields so that she could come face to face with the one man God had chosen to redeem her and marry her. Well, keep in mind that there is no accident with God. Now, God didn't force her to go to this field, but I would say that it was arranged in some way or another that Ruth, as she goes in, we see in the next verses here, actually back up to verse 2, and we see that in this verse, in this chapter, Ruth found grace. It says, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter." Now, once again, she wasn't forced to go. She was looking, I believe she was acting in God's will, and she was listening to her mother-in-law. Well, Ruth looked for grace, and of course, she found grace there. And not only did she find grace, but in verse 13 of this chapter, in chapter 2, we see that she found favor. It says, "Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord." Well, she's speaking to Boaz here, and it says, "For thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." Well, Ruth not only found grace, but she found favor in this man's sight. And then we see in verse 20 of this chapter that Ruth found that there was kindness here. It says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Well, not only did Ruth find grace and favor, she found kindness. We find the same thing in our Lord. It's by his grace that we're saved and on our way to heaven. It's by his favor. We found favor in the sight of God because we've trusted his Son to save us. And we see God's kindness all through our lives as he has taken care of us. Well, now I'll speak about that in just a moment. But as we look on now, the next thought I would like for us to see is Boaz protects Ruth and provides for her long before he marries her. We know this is a perfect illustration of our Lord's provision for us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, and we read these verses as a reminder as to what God has done for us and is doing for us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" And then in chapter 6 and verse 31 of Matthew, it says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" And once again, that verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul the Apostle says, God's going to supply all of his needs, and that which should be on our minds and our hearts right now as saved people. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, God gives us everything that we need, and he also gives us our wants. Now, once in a while, we'll ask something that is a want and God doesn't give it to us. Why is that? Because when we pray for God's will to be done, and we're praying in the right way, God will protect us from things that we think will be good for us, but God says, no, that's not good for you, so you're not going to get that. So we just need to keep trusting God to supply our needs, and we will get some wants along the way, and we need to just pray for God's will to be done in our lives. You see, it's one thing to say to God and say that God takes care of us now that we're saved. It's another thing to think he took care of us even before we were saved. Now, I'd like for you to think back and think of this. And I've mentioned this in a previous study. Think before you gave your life to Jesus. Was there ever a time when some way or somehow when you needed help and didn't know where to find the help you needed that it came? Was there ever a time when you received help in time of need? I was there every time as you think back. And I'm speaking to you today, the Lord says. And he speaks even before we get saved. Can you think back now of a time that you should have been killed, but somehow you escaped the hand of death? Well, that's because of God. Well, now we look back to the book of Ruth now. And before Boaz married Ruth, he was taking care of her. And this ties in with exactly what I've been saying here. And I believe that God watches out for us. The Bible says he's long-suffering toward us and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, he gives every man and woman an opportunity to come to him to receive Jesus. And we see here in the book of Ruth that Boaz loved Ruth even before they married. And God loves us even before we call upon his name to save us. Yeah, God loves us even before we become one of his children. The Bible says God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for people before they, he died for the world, that they would be saved, that people of this world would be saved. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Well, this old song says in part, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star." See, who can explain God's love? What human can actually say they know all about God's love? Well, we come close when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, because his love was manifested in Jesus Christ as he sent him into this world to seek and to save those who were lost, to seek, to save, to die for lost individuals, to rise from the dead, that individuals could have eternal life once they've trusted him as Savior. I want you to note that this, if you would. Ruth was a worker. And you know, God does not bless and guide lazy people. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." Well, the sluggard is by definition a lazy person. They avoid work or physical exertion. They're lethargic. They're inactive. They're slow, listless, and slothful. We need to be about our Lord's work. We need to be about his business and do what he wants us to do. And those who do the task at hand, as Ruth did, will find God's direction. We often wonder, how can I find God's will for my life? We see we need to be about his work as we work. And as we do this, he's going to lead us and guide us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Remember, God does not expect more than we can do, but he does require that we do whatever we can do, heartily, as to the Lord, and that we do it with our might, according to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. He said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Whatever we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. We should look at it as the Lord did. He did it for His Father. And I want to hear the Lord say this to me when I see Him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. I want to hear Him say that. Now, the next thing, and we look back into the book of Ruth now, and we see a lot of likenesses here, but we see the blessings of God and the faithfulness of Ruth in this book, in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, it says, "And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next generation." She's blessing God here because God's taking care of them. He's working everything out for them. Well, remember earlier I said that this is showing kindness in verse 20. Well, it's showing kindness, and we see here that a blessing is offered in these verses in verse 19. And Naomi pronounces this blessing upon the person who had been so kind to Ruth before she even knew this, who this person was. Well, Ruth, who identifies the man whose field she has gleaned in, this man's name was Boaz. And Ruth was not ashamed of the person she had wrought with or worked with. Well, the question goes out to us. Are we ashamed of who we owe our substance, our life to? Are we ashamed of who has given us eternal life? Scripture says in Romans chapter 10 and verses 10 and 11, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." We should not be ashamed of the Lord. We should be ready to tell people about Him and tell them that they too can go to heaven just like we're going to go one day. Well, Naomi not only blesses but identifies Boaz as near kin in verse 20. Naomi not only says Boaz is kin, but also says he is one of our next kinsmen. He's very close, and she also said that he is one of our next kinsmen, meaning that he is at least one of the kinsmen. Now, we're going to see in just a few moments that there's another one, and we'll see the importance of the statement that Naomi made here, one of our next kinsmen. And as we continue studying this book, and as we get further into our study of the book of Ruth, we're going to see how all of this works together. Well, let me read chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. "And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." We need to stay close to God's people. We need to join ourselves with a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church that sticks with a King James Bible, the Word of God. Stay with the people of God. Listen to them. And maybe you can be an inspiration to them as well by helping them to know that you believe Jesus Christ is leading and guiding you and helping you through this life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.